Welcome to the Nowercast Tech Briefing. I am your host, and with me, as always, is my co-host. Today, we are looking at a major, tangible shift in the viability of local AI models for daily software development.
We have been talking about the promise of local models for years, but the consensus has usually been that they are fun for tinkering, but not quite ready for real heavy-duty work. That narrative is rapidly changing this week, and we have the benchmarks to prove it.
We are also going to break down a highly sophisticated social engineering attack targeting software engineers on LinkedIn. It is a stark reminder of how standard, trusted developer workflows are being weaponized by bad actors.
It takes the concept of a routine take-home coding interview and turns it into a remote code execution nightmare that compromises your entire machine before you even read the prompt. We will get into exactly how that attack chain works.
Plus, in our roundup, we will cover some fascinating new feature requests for Anthropic's Claude Code and discuss a rare moment of public deference from gaming legend John Carmack toward another foundational programming pioneer.
There is a lot of ground to cover today regarding how our tools are evolving, both for better and for worse. Let's get right into the first story.
Our first deep dive comes from a detailed write-up by data scientist and engineer Vicky Boykus, appropriately titled, "Running Local Models is Good Now." She argues that we have officially reached a tipping point where local models are highly effective for actual production-level development tasks.
This isn't just a theoretical claim or a synthetic benchmark. Boykus specifically points to the Gemma 4 family of models. According to her real-world testing, these models are now enabling agentic coding at roughly 75% of the accuracy and speed of the major frontier models from companies like OpenAI and Anthropic.
75% is a fascinating threshold. It might not sound perfect, but when you consider that this is a model running entirely on your own hardware, without any API costs, rate limits, or privacy concerns, it is more than enough to handle the bulk of routine coding tasks, boilerplate generation, and initial debugging.
And the hardware she is using to achieve this is relatively standard for a modern senior developer. She is running a 2022 M2 Mac with 64 gigabytes of RAM and a 1 terabyte drive. It is a highly capable machine, certainly, but it is a consumer laptop, not a massive, dedicated server rack with multiple high-end GPUs.
Exactly. She is utilizing a stack of common local inference tools, Ollama, LMStudio, and Llama.cpp, to run a specific quantization, the Gemma-4-26B-A4B model. The fact that a 26 billion parameter model can run comfortably on a standard developer laptop and deliver that level of utility is a massive milestone for the open-weight community.
The community response to her post really validated this shift. Georgi Gurganov, who is obviously a central figure in the local LLM space as the creator of Llama.cpp, jumped into the discussion. He confirmed that models like QN3.627B are also proving to be incredibly capable for daily coding workflows.
When you have the creator of the underlying execution engine saying that 27 billion parameter models are consistently hitting the mark for daily use, you know the ecosystem has matured. For years, running large language models locally was seen as a niche hobby. You had to deal with complex Python dependencies, slow inference speeds, and outputs that frankly just couldn't compete with the cloud.
But the optimization of developer tooling has played a massive role here. It is not just that the model architectures are better, though they absolutely are. It is that the entire pipeline around them, the retrieval augmented generation, the agentic loops, the quantization techniques that squeeze these models into smaller memory footprints, has been heavily refined over the last 2 years.
That brings up a critical point about the broader implications for enterprise development. If a local model can handle 75% of the workload efficiently, the reliance on centralized AI providers could start to shift dramatically. Companies that have strict data privacy requirements, or those working on highly proprietary code bases, now have a viable, secure alternative.
Right. The data never leaves the machine. You don't have to worry about your proprietary algorithms being ingested into a cloud provider's training data, or dealing with enterprise licensing agreements just to use an AI coding assistant.
It gives the developer complete sovereignty over their environment and their intellectual property.
However, we still have to acknowledge the 25% gap. For highly complex, multi-file refactoring, deeply nuanced architectural decisions, or obscure bug hunting, the frontier models still hold a definitive edge. The local models are fantastic co-pilots, but they might not be ready to act as the lead architect just yet.
That is a fair assessment, but the trajectory is what truly matters here. If we are at 75% parity today on consumer hardware from 2022, the gap is only going to close further as both the open weight models and the underlying silicon continue to evolve. We are moving from a world where AI was a service you rented to a world where AI is a core utility you own and run locally.
Moving on to our next story, we have a stark warning for anyone currently navigating the tech job market. The story is titled "A Backdoor in a LinkedIn Job Offer," and it details a highly sophisticated attack on a software developer named Roman Imankulov.
Imankulov was targeted by what appeared to be a completely legitimate recruiter profile on LinkedIn. After some initial conversation to establish trust, the recruiter asked him to review a code base for a crypto startup. They claimed the code was broken and wanted his technical expertise to fix it as part of a preliminary interview process.
It is a very common scenario. Take-home assignments and code reviews are standard practice in software engineering interviews today. But in this case, the GitHub repository he was linked to was actively malicious. It contained a backdoor hidden deep within a test file, specifically located at app/test/index.js.
The attackers disguised the malicious payload as a standard test suite, which is brilliant because reviewers expect test files to execute code. But the really insidious part is how it was triggered. The repository's package.json file was configured to execute this hidden code automatically the moment the developer ran the npm install command.
And running npm install is pure muscle memory for any Node or JavaScript developer opening a new project. It is the very first thing you do to pull down dependencies so your IDE stops throwing errors. By weaponizing that standard workflow, the attackers ensured their payload would run before Imankulov even had a chance to open his editor and look at the actual code.
Once triggered, the backdoor executed a remote code execution payload. It reached out to a remote server, specifically a seemingly innocuous domain named resticonhandler.store, to fetch and run arbitrary commands directly on his local machine. That gave the attackers full control over his system.
This represents a massive evolution in social engineering. We're used to phishing emails or fake login pages, but targeting a developer's local environment by exploiting the inherent trust we place in standard package managers and GitHub repositories is incredibly dangerous and much harder to detect.
It completely bypasses standard security training. You are told not to click suspicious links, but you aren't usually told to manually audit the pre-install and post-install scripts of every repository you clone before installing dependencies, especially not when you are eager to impress a potential employer and move quickly.
It raises serious questions about how developers should handle these types of technical assessments moving forward. If you were interviewing and receive a repository to review, how do you safely vet it without looking like you are dragging your feet?
The standard security advice would be to use a sandbox environment, a virtual machine, or a container for any untrusted code. But that adds significant friction to the interview process. If a candidate insists on setting up a secure VM just to look at a simple take-home test, some employers might view that as overly paranoid or an inability to work efficiently.
True, but this incident proves that paranoia is entirely justified. The attackers are specifically preying on the power dynamics of the job hunt. They know candidates are highly motivated to act quickly, follow instructions, and demonstrate competence to secure the role.
It also highlights a systemic issue with platforms like LinkedIn. The fact that attackers can easily create fake recruiter profiles, build enough credibility to engage senior developers, and distribute malware suggests that the platform's verification systems are fundamentally insufficient for protecting high-value professional targets.
Absolutely. When developers are being compromised through the platform's primary use case, recruiting, it is a major liability. developers need to treat any unsolicited code with extreme caution going forward, regardless of how professional the recruiter's profile looks. All right, let's transition over to the roundup and hit a few more stories real quick.
We have a couple of interesting feature requests bubbling up from the Anthropic developer community, plus some exceptionally high praise from a gaming industry legend. Let's get into it.
First up, a notable issue on the Claude Code GitHub repository titled Feature Request Section/Chapter Scoped Compaction. As a reminder, Claude Code is Anthropic's terminal-based agentic coding tool that launched back in February 2025.
Right, and it operates with a massive 200,000 token context window. Currently, when the system hits about 83.5% capacity, it triggers a global compaction to summarize the entire conversation history and prevent the agent from crashing.
The problem users are highlighting in issue 688889 is that this global compaction is a lossy process. If you go down a long, noisy debugging detour and then resolve it, the current system forces you to compact the entire project history, potentially losing critical early architectural instructions.
Users are asking for the ability to surgically prune specific sections of the conversation. It highlights a real tension in long-running agentic sessions, balancing the need to clear out temporary noise while maintaining a perfectly intact, granular memory of the core project state.
Next, a brief but notable moment on social media from June 16th. John Carmack, the legendary programmer behind 3D game engines like Doom and Quake, posted on X, "I admire Fabrice Ballard. He is almost certainly a better overall programmer than I am."
That is incredibly high praise coming from someone of Carmack's stature. For those who don't know, Fabrice Ballard is the French developer responsible for foundational open source tools like FFmpeg for video processing, QEMU for virtualization, and the Tiny C compiler.
It is a fascinating contrast in engineering styles. Carmack is known for building robust, production-grade engines collaboratively with teams, while Ballard is famous for working entirely solo to produce highly optimized, boundary-pushing proofs of concept.
It is a rare moment of public deference between two of the most influential engineers in computing history, and it really reinforces the mythos of the legendary 10x solo builder in software culture.
Finally, another Claude Code GitHub issue, this one number 68893, titled Stop Updates from the UI. It turns out the tool's background distribution updates are causing some serious headaches for developers in constrained environments.
Because Claude Code is a highly autonomous agentic tool that relies heavily on network connectivity for API calls, it also pulls down mandatory updates automatically from Anthropic servers to ensure it has the latest capabilities and security patches.
But users on slow or metered internet connections are finding that these automatic updates consume significant bandwidth, completely stalling their actual work. The request is simply to add a way to pause or stop a download from the UI once it starts.
It is a classic software engineering dilemma. The provider wants to ensure everyone is running the latest, most capable version of the model, but the end user needs granular control over their local machine's bandwidth and resources.
And that is going to wrap up this episode of the Narracast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the stories and GitHub issues we covered today. And please, keep your local development environments secure.
We will be back next time with more insights into the rapidly changing world of tech. Until then, take care.